Okay, we're going to get started. I'm going to get started, and then they'll start coming in. Anyway, we're at Faith Bible Church. Today is 10/11/15. As most of you know, I'm not Dave, the regular adult. This is adult Sunday school. But for those through the video and through the CDs, we want to welcome you. I'm really thankful that our brother started the video ministry. My understanding is some people are bothered a little bit by it. But for myself, what I'll say is, I won't sit in my house in 45 minutes and listen to an audio, but I will watch a video. So, you know, you never change the message. Better make sure you got the gospel of grace clear. But how we get that message out, we can grow. And when someone, you know, because they're a little uncomfortable with something new, that's to me when a church starts dying. When they don't, as Paul found, different ways to get the gospel out. So I'm going to open up in prayer. The message we're going to deal with this morning is, it's basic training, okay? Someone, a sister here, told me that, which I couldn't, was very hard for me to believe, some people in our church don't really understand how to rightly divide the word. And I'm like, every week the pastor is going over this, you know? So, but I thought, not only that, but for some of our new people to do the videos, and they're new to the grace message, the gospel that Christ gave Paul. So I thought, we're going to go back and just do a basic training. And you know, sometimes what I would want to say to all of us who understand right division, do you got a zeal to share it? Do you got a zeal to share Paul's gospel, justification by faith? If not, maybe we need, like in the army, if you forgot the purpose of your training, got to go back to some basic training. You always go back to the foundation. If your foundation is a little crumbly, everything else is going to be off. So I'm going to open up with prayer and just be thankful that for the opportunity again to fill in for Dave. And I always humbly am grateful. And because why it's so important to understand how to rightly divide the word, so we know God can use us, that He sees us justified. And you only find in Christ, by His blood, and we have access to God. God can use a person who's totally righteous, can He? You know, I couldn't come up here if I thought in my own good self, because, you know, the only thing good in me is what Christ produced and produces. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for another day of grace. Your Son might come back today to take us, to catch us up into the clouds, Lord. And we look so forward to that. But as Pastor Stan said, he never prayed for Him to come today, because there's so many people that aren't saved, even believers that don't understand Your grace, God. They have they're under a confused message. And I pray today, God, that we'll get back to what does it mean to rightly divide the word? How do we do it? And what's the purpose why we do it? And I pray Your Holy Spirit will be the real teacher today. And I thank You, Lord. I'm excited and looking forward to what You're going to do. Because Your word tells us, Paul tells us to the body of Christ, that You can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or everything we think or could imagine, God. So may Your Son receive the glory today. May You illumine every mind that's here and everyone that will be listening or watching through video. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, excuse me. I would say too, I watched one of the videos I was telling Jeremy, our video tech, that, you know, that's a new ministry, and it's kind of white, I noticed, like the pastors, but you develop. The more you do something, the more you develop it. So if I look kind of white, just think of me as being anointed and holy. I told Mary I should have wore white, you know, you'll be like glowing, you know, and stuff. But anyway, I wanted to say before we get started, today's the pastor's birthday. Make sure you wish him a happy birthday. So on the count of three, one, two, three. Happy birthday, Pastor! So, you know, I called him this morning about this, about the board. And let me get my dry markers, because I think visual is very good. Seeing something and hearing something, you're going to grasp something more. So I don't know if I can maybe bring it more this way, so y'all could, can you see this, the board? Okay. So we're going to start out in a minute. We're going to see, this is going to help you to see where things fit. You know, you'll see as we go. But I called the pastor about making sure we had one of these diesels. Diesels, you call it? Easels. anyway, and he said, make sure he's playing around. You have your hair combed for, you know, the video. And I says, which one? Yeah, I ain't got too much left. But anyway, we're going to see the why we rightly divide, how, and the reason we rightly divide God's Word. That's why I said it's basic training. So let's look at why do we rightly divide the Word. Go to 2 Timothy 2:15, and I'm sure most of us here have that verse memorized. And I got a whole lot to go over. I got a, you know, Dave, I got so much respect for him because he can do, I exaggerate, but 1,000 verses in 45 minutes. I'm lucky if I get 10 in usually when I'm preaching, because I get passionate and you get into. One long ago, a month ago, I preached 45 minutes on one verse. Because there's so much in the Word of God that, you know, when you exegete it, you dig it out. But I have a lot to go over today, and so I'm going to be machine gunning. So hopefully you won't be too tired when the pastor preaches later. You know, it's kind of nice. Some of you, I hope, that understand this stuff, sometimes you look out and you see like bloodhounds or bat-headed sounds, kind of like eyes, you know, half open. But I hope, even if you understand how to really divide the Word, you'll really pay attention, because maybe it'll ignite, again, a little fire in us to really want to share God's grace more. So why do we rightly divide the Word? 2 Timothy 2:15. God's Word tells us to. God tells us to. The Holy Spirit breathed God's Word. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? Paul wrote it, but Christ gave him the message of grace, didn't he? So it's a message from Christ through Paul, through the Holy Spirit, in written form for us. Study. So what do we got to do?
Study.
All right, some people are convicted already. I betcha. Because we're too lazy sometimes. We don't take time to study the Word. But then there's a lot of believers that study the Word, don't they? They could quote you verses back and forth. Okay? But study to show thyself approved unto God. So what is there? A way to study that what? Has God's approval. So what's that tell you? There's a way that doesn't have God's approval. Right? Yeah. A workman that needeth not be ashamed. So when you study God's way, you don't need to be ashamed. But if you don't, what should you be?
Amen.
Amen. Remember, I was a Pentecostal a year, so I like when people, amen, and give me some feedback, you know. So feel free, and then it keeps the one next to you awake a little bit, too. It says, that needed not be ashamed. So how do we study God's Word? Rightly dividing the Word of truth. So what do you have to do? You got to study. But when you study, here's where the majority in the professing church today, they don't study God's way. Rightly dividing in the Greek has the idea of slicing straightly and accurately. So there's divisions in God's Word. We don't make the divisions. We see where God's made the divisions, and we acknowledge them, and we apply them. See, there's a lot of people that do understand the rightly divided word, but they don't apply it. They get it all up here, but the doctrine is supposed to get into our... that we need to fill ourselves up with that sound doctrine, right? Grace doctrine, and build up that edifice in our soul. But it's supposed to work into our will and get out of us. That's where you get a lot of puffed up sometimes grace believers. They just get the doctrines. It don't get into their will, and it don't get out. They just like to argue. So, but if we don't study the Word of God, we should be ashamed. So why do we rightly divide the Word? God tells us to, right? That's a command under grace. And another reason is, go to, it's still 2 Timothy 2, 1-5, at the Bema steps, the Bema seat of Christ, when He gives out rewards. See, He's not good. God is not, and Christ is not going to reward anything that's not according to God's will. I don't care how sincere you are. I know believers out there that, and they have a love for the God, and they think they're serving God, but they got this mixed message, law and grace, kingdom, mystery, you know, and it's Satan loves it. He don't want the body of Christ to rightly divide the word. He wants a mix. So people get let down when the promises that God promised somebody else and they're male and we try and claim they're male like Israel's male. But this is a very important issue because it has to do with rewards at the Bema steps. The judgment seat of Christ, the Bema steps, is not for work. It's not for, I'm sorry, our sins. Our sins were dealt with at cross. It's for rewards. Now, we could debate what the rewards are. You know, but as we'll see, Paul talks about rewards. And in order to get rewards, you gotta go by the rules, God, the principles He set down. Okay? Says 2 Timothy 2:1. Paul, this is probably Paul's last book. He knows he's probably going to see Nero's, I think it was Nero, the chopping block. His head's going to get chopped off. And so you got to say, how important is what he says in this book? He's trying to tell a young one that you'll see, he says, teach men, they'll teach men. Keep this message going. Okay? Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me. Who's writing it? Paul. Paul was given the dispensation of grace, we'll see, from Christ. Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. So what he's saying, what you heard from me, what my teaching was, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's what our church should be doing too. You should begin built up in the doctrine and grace, truth, and then what? Just keep it going so you become a big doctrine head? You know, so you're going to impress people? No. You teach other people. Share it. You know, have such a love for God's grace that you can't help but share it. You don't care what people think. You know what I'm saying? That takes boldness. We need to pray for that. And he says, who shall be able to teach others also? Because you know what? If we don't do it, just like Paul, even while he was alive, what did he say? All those in Asia have deserted me. And when you see him off the scene, and you see, there's no church history for, I don't know, 50 or 100 years. And when you see what came out, the teaching after that, they lost the grace message. And it can be done again today. If we who know it. And I'm talking to young people too. You think, well, yeah, the older ones, they should be doing it, you know, they need to be studying that, you know, I got to play basketball, I got to get on Facebook, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, young people got to take the message to other young people or it dies out. If our church doesn't expand and reaching out, not to get numbers of people, but get numbers of people that understand grace. And understand enough to be able to teach other people and build other people up in grace doctrine. We're not supposed to just come sit in the pews, you know. We want to take what we're learning, and you know, at a church I used to go to, they had a sign above the door. It says, "You're entering the mission field when you were leaving the church." See, the pastor's main thing is to build the people up, to study and build us up, and then us to get out there in our circle of influence and be sharing. And he said, "Thou therefore endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So what do you think of when you think of soldier? Somebody who's trained, right? A warrior. Somebody who stands in battle. Somebody courageous, right? That's a good soldier. What does a bad soldier do? He takes off, right? He hides. He gets quiet. So he's not noticed. "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life." We all need to know this verse. Because I see so many people, I administer a lot on Facebook, that are all worried about everything going on in this fallen world. The politics and the gay marriage and, you know, whatever. We need to teach our people right from wrong. But I see believers that are supposed to be sharing the gospel with the lost world being hateful and getting all shook up. "Oh, I wish the rapture would come." Because they're not focused on Christ. They're not experiencing joy and peace. They're all getting into the affairs of this world. Not that we shouldn't know what's going on and things and be educated to things. But when things get our focus off Christ, then Satan don't care what your focus is on as long as it ain't on Christ. He says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Why? "That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries," you know what the idea there is? Competes in athletics. "Yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully?" So what's that? If he competes according to the rules. What's God's rule? Rightly divide the word. Study it, rightly divide it. Or we're not going to be a very good soldier for Jesus Christ. One more verse with that. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Remember, we only got one life to get it right here, to serve God here. We're gonna, you know, there's a great retirement program in heaven. You know, so let me ask some. What are we investing our lives in here? You could ask yourself that. I'll ask my. I get more convicted when I teach or preach than anybody. You know, say when you got one. You know, I'm trying not to point at anybody, because sometimes you're like this, and all of a sudden you're going, "Why is he pointing at me?" But when the preacher, the Bible teacher, has got one finger out, he got three pointed back at himself. So, what I say? Okay. 1 Corinthians 10, I believe that's where I was at. 9:24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race..." Remember what Paul was talking about? You got to go by the rules. Remember, a good soldier? And what was the rules? Rightly dividing the word of God. We got to find out where are our instructions, right? Otherwise, if we're following somebody else's instructions, you think God's going to reward you for that? Actually, it's going to suffer loss. He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery," see the idea again as you're competing, "is temperate in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown," like in the Olympics, "but we an incorruptible crown. So I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so I fight not as one that beateth the air." Paul's saying, He's trained. He's a soldier. See, I studied American Kempo Karate for 6 years. You learn to train. You got to do it over and over and over till it becomes muscle memory, they call it. You don't got to think what you're doing. We need to train in this Word of God. Need to take this sword and be able to wield it. And if you don't really divide the word, you won't be able to wield it. You'll be, instead of, you know, accurately. Paul said he don't beat the air. He don't miss. You know, he's pow, knockout. Sometime when we're sharing, we got to be very patient with people who don't understand. That's our problem. You know, it's like, we think we understood this right away, how to rightly divide the word and how to apply that, you know. And so we're trying to tell other people and they ain't getting it. So we start getting angry. We're trying to be the Holy Spirit and make them understand. We got to be, love is not rude. So when you understand how to rightly divide the word, we have to also understand, like Dave did that great article, I think, in the Berean Searchlight, A Gentle Breeze. It was a beautiful article about, you know, we can love is not rude, Scripture says, right? We can be very rude. We can be right and rude. And we're supposed to speak the truth, what? But speak it in love, right? So, let's go. All right, we see, we read what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly divide the word, right? Okay, so do we understand we're supposed to do that? How do you do it? I'm glad he asked that question. See, you don't hear the people. You know. Why don't we ask the one who wrote it? Don't it make sense? So, go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. The clock is my enemy always. I'm always like, never get all my verses in, and then I'm trying to wrap it up and make sense. But I'm praying today I'll get most of it. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. So when you study the scriptures, what do you got to ask? What's some questions? Who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? Okay. What are they saying? Why are they saying it? What did that mean at that time? How do I apply it? Can I apply it? See, you can't. There's many promises in here and instructions in the Word of God. I don't argue with people. I just responded one time on Facebook, and then I leave it alone. You know, a lady was telling me, because I wrote, how many believers don't understand their identity in Christ because they don't rightly divide the word? They think, you know, we're spiritual Israel. They're mixing Israel's program and instructions and promises with our instructions and promises in the body of Christ. And she says, well, the law was in heaven before it was written by the finger of God. And then she said, the law is still in effect and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, and a lot of other things. She was quoting verses out of context. And I said, I don't know really what to tell you. I says, you have a very confused message. You know, and I responded to her and I showed her, I wrote her the scriptures, we're not under law, we're under grace. That's very specific. Law were instructions for what? The nation Israel, that God gave Moses to the nation Israel. And what? What did Paul say? We're going to find out. The dispensation of grace, Paul was a steward of it. It was given to him, and him to give to the body of Christ. For this reason, I, Paul, so who's writing it? Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. So who's he writing to? Gentiles, the nations, not the nation Israel. And also he's writing to Jews and Gentiles in the body of Christ, because today there's neither Jew nor Gentile. So when we say he's writing to the Gentiles, the nation Israel, at the Tower of Babel, God let the nations go. See, they didn't want to know God. He let them go. Okay. Now, when Israel rejects their Messiah, Christ, what? He prayed for them, right?
Yeah.
on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So the Father does. And he still offers them a kingdom on Pentecost, right? If they'll repent, the time of refreshing, what's that? The kingdom, the long-awaited kingdom, right? What would come. Did they as a nation? No. And with the stoning of Stephen, God sets that nation aside, just like he did the Gentiles. Now that we're on equal ground. Individuals, whether Jew or Gentile, black, white, male, female, can what? Come to the cross. By grace. What a message. Yeah. Remember that Russian guy? What a country. What a message. The secret that was hidden in other ages, Paul said, but now revealed. Now, but now. So we're going to see time pass, but now, and things to come. He said, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you word. So who was it given to? You guys are good. It's early. Everybody must have had some coffee. It was given to Paul for who? He's writing to the body of Christ, the church of today. How that by revelation, so what? Something was revealed, right? It was unveiled. That means it was covered before. He, who's that? Jesus Christ, made known unto me the mystery. What's mystery mean? Look it up in the Greek. I love going to the Greek. Secret. As I wrote afore in a few words, and we're going to go into what he wrote afore in a few words. I got tongue-tied with the King James. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge into what? The mystery of Christ. The secret of Christ. Paul writes in what? Romans 16:25. That how does he preach Christ? According to the revelation and the mystery. In Corinthians, he tells, I believe it's Corinthians, he tells them, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in there, that we know no man according to the flesh. Now they're new. We know them as new creations, right? New creatures. And Christ. But he says, we don't know Christ. We knew Christ that way. So when you know about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or even in after his resurrection when he appears to Peter and them before his ascension, we knew him that way. But Paul says, we don't know him no more as that. Today we know him as what? The head of the body of Christ, the ascended, not just resurrected, ascended and glorified, seated at the right hand of God. And we're seated with him. He's the head, we're the body. If you don't rightly divide, you won't know who you are. It's a shame. How many people in the body of Christ, because lack of right division, don't understand who they've been made in Christ? We got a new identity in Christ as a new man that you'll only understand through Paul's epistles. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm just going to say one thing, but a couple young ladies that share all the time on Facebook, they're both worn out, feel like ready to give up. They said, the one said, I'm doing everything. I get confessed all my sins. You know, and I'm doing this, I'm doing... She goes, but I don't... She don't know her identity in Christ. She's depending on herself. Probably what her pastor's teaching. Legalistic performance-based system, you know. That's why I share so much about grace on there. Salvation, the gospel of salvation, that Christ died, he was buried, he rose, and you're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, not by works, Ephesians 2:8-9, right? Lest any man should boast. For the unsaved, and then I share the mystery to the saved, because it says what? God desires all men to be saved, right? And then come to the knowledge of the truth. We know in grace circles, if you want, it's so important, and that's why I'm teaching us basic training, to bring them to the knowledge of the truth. But don't forget, God desires all men to be saved. It's not just, it's reaching out to the lost too. It's not just explaining right division to believers. It's both God's will. He goes, back to verse 4. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge into the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So what? Before Paul, this message wasn't known. As it is now. See, look at words. It means changes when it says, but now. Right? Revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now I believe this is apostles and prophets in the body of Christ. I don't think it was Israel's, but if you want to say it was Peter and James and them in Galatians, well, it says, Paul said, when they perceived the gospel I preached, that means they didn't know it. They gave him the right hand of fellowship and what? That he should go to the uncircumcised and them to the circumcised. But I really do believe that Christ revealed to Paul the mystery, all that information for the body of Christ today. Even the church, the body of Christ, that's part of the mystery. Christ in you, your hope for glory. You won't find the body of Christ anywhere else in the Bible. Not from Genesis, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, early Acts. You won't find it after Paul's epistles to Hebrews and on James to Revelation. You won't find the body of Christ. And I dare anyone to show me. You'll find a church. The kingdom church. You know, Stephen in Acts chapter 7, I believe, talks about the church in the wilderness. A church is an assembly, a called out group. Yeah. That was what? Israel. And Christ says, I'll build my church upon this rock. That's a church. What was that church? The kingdom Jewish church. Peter, the little flock. That was one church. That's why in the book Acts, if you don't know, there's two churches going there. There's the one is dying out, that program, as God gradually sets the nation Israel aside, temporarily. Stick in your mind, when you tell people, don't say God set Israel aside. He's not done with her. After our program's over, their program will start up once again. And then God will deal with them through the 7-year tribulation and what? 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then you've got the fullness of times. He says, because Paul talks about Barnabas, Silas as apostles. So in the early church, before you had all this information, knew Paul was getting it from Christ, but in the meantime, how was the church getting built up? Through apostles and prophets and what? Tongues, interpretation of tongues, all these sign gifts were going on. Once the Bible's completed, you got all that information. Paul says, when that which is perfect, that which is what? Incomplete, immature, will be done away with. You don't need that stuff anymore. Now we got the completed Word of God. He says, anyway, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister. So who was Paul? According to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me. So unto who? Paul. Who is less than the least of the saints. See, when Paul talks about himself, he's very humble. Right? But when he talks about his office, he said, magnify my office. You know why? Christ gave it to him. And when the church don't magnify Paul's office as the apostle to the body of Christ, we don't worship Paul. Or you become, I think that, I don't know if that's Paulist or there's some that's called. We worship Christ, but according to the revelation of the mystery. And we preach him. Not according to him teaching on the law in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. He says, wherefore I was made a minister, verse 7, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. You see, Paul didn't depend on himself, and we shouldn't depend on ourselves. It's his power. Paul said that I might know him, right? That he might apprehend what he's been at, that he might know him and the power of his resurrection. That's a Christian life. You'll find that out through Paul. It's not just only knowing facts. You got to have the doctrine. But as you apply the doctrine, Christ lives, who is indwelling us, expresses himself out of us. But you got to depend on him. Because once you start, you know, I'm there now. Christ goes, go ahead. Go ahead. And you fall on your face. And it's a great place to be. Because you learn, don't depend on yourself. It's no longer I live, Paul said. Yet not me. Christ in me, right? And Christ lives through him. So he says, unto me who am, verse 8, who am the less or least than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the what? Unsearchable riches of Christ. It's unsearchable in the Old Testament. It's unsearchable in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's unsearchable in Acts. It's unsearchable after Paul's epistles. You won't find the rapture any place but in Paul's epistles. What did he say? The secret, the mystery. It's unsearchable riches of Christ. You can't find it till Paul. Because Christ only revealed it to Paul. You ever wonder why Paul wrote more books of the Bible than anyone else in the Bible? You ever wonder that? Those on video who maybe have never heard about rightly dividing? Do you ever think about that? Why Paul? They had 12 apostles. Now, when you read in theology books and commentaries, they'll say, well, they were prejudiced, you know, because Paul was a Gentile, so they chose Matthias. No, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were seeking God. They got their 12, because there's 12 tribes in Israel, right? 12 apostles for 12 tribes that will sit under Christ in the kingdom, ruling over the nation Israel, and there'll be a kingdom of priests. We're not. And Paul said, and this should be our prayer, this is my goal, I pray about this, and to make all men see what is the fellowship, or this could be interpreted, dispensation of the mystery, the fellowship of the secret, the fellowship of the dispensation and the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So it's since the beginning of the world, this mystery, the unsearchable riches of Christ have been what? Hidden God, right? Let me ask some. Was the kingdom program, when John the Baptist come on the scene, when Christ was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand, was that known since the beginning of the world?
Yes.
When Peter preached, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, he didn't say as a testimony, as some try and water it down. They had the because it was an initiation rite of the priest. And the nation Israel had to confess they couldn't keep the law. Because you know what? God said, if you do these things, I'll bless you. If you don't, I'll curse you. Be careful to keep it all. And you know what Israel said? They signed the contract. We'll do it. It will be our righteousness. We'll do it all.
Right.
And never has a nation Israel yet, as a nation, because God deals with them as a nation and individuals, never have they confessed that they're lawbreakers, that they went a whoring after other gods.
Yes.
But after the rapture, that Paul tells us that was never revealed before except through Paul, then when they see Christ come back, they're going to confess. And then that's when God gives them new hearts. And they'll walk according to his ways. So we see Christ gave Paul something that was hid, right? So it wasn't that program that was known. What did Peter say in Acts chapter 3, I believe? I just don't have time to go to everything. He said, this was when they said they're drunk on wine. He said, it's early in the morning, dude. You know, I'm paraphrasing this, right? We ain't drunk. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, also, this is what was written by Samuel and the prophets on. That's something that was known. Peter wasn't preaching the mystery. James wasn't preaching the mystery. John wasn't preaching the mystery. Christ, in his early ministry, wasn't preaching the mystery. He was preaching a kingdom that was known for what?
Israel.
And they're still looking for it.
Yes. Yep.
But they won't get it till they trust in their Christ. You know, in order in that program, this is how important it is to rightly divide the word. John says that they had to believe that Christ, that he was a Christ. Right? Today you can believe Jesus is the Christ. There's a lot of Jewish, they call them Messianic Jews, that believe he's the Christ. That won't save you. Today the gospel of salvation is what? If you rightly divide the word. Because they had to also sell all their goods, give it to the poor. They had to get water baptized for the remission of sins before the cross. And even after the cross, Peter didn't preach, just trust in the blood of Christ for justification, for forgiveness, did he? Repent and be baptized. He didn't know. It wasn't until Christ raised up the Apostle Paul, gives him our information, we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. You're totally righteous, justified by grace. We have access to God by the blood of Christ and by what? His Spirit. Now, I got a couple minutes. I'm going to show you something. I'm here. I got this and this. I told. We're going to do a condensed course in right division. Okay? We're going to look at the verses. We're going to look at time, past, but, now, and then things and ages. Sorry, my writing to come. Okay. The easiest way, I think, to rightly divide the word. Now, in these, there's different dispensations. You can do a Larkin, the dispensation of innocence before the fall. Then you have after the fall, dispensation of conscience. Then with Noah, dispensation of government. Abraham, the dispensation of promise. With Moses, the dispensation of law. With Paul, the dispensation of grace. Then you have the dispensation of the kingdom, and then the dispensation of fullness of time. But you can do that, and it helps, really. But the easiest way, Paul gives it to us. Go to Ephesians 2, 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. So what? In time past, what were they?
Gentiles.
Nations in the flesh. So time past, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. So, how do you know when you study the Bible when you're in time past? That means a program God was doing before. It's in the Bible. It's just in time past. How do you know? Circumcision. There's a difference of Jew and Gentile, right? So I got to do the condensed version. Circumcision. What did God give Abraham? Circumcision. And for Gentiles to get saved in the past, they had to become a proselyte, become a Jew, and take the yoke of law, or they had to bless the nation Israel and God would bless them. That's in time past. So how do you know when you're in time past when you're studying the Word of God? What else did he use for that middle wall of partition? In verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So in time past, what? At the Tower of Babel, God let them go, right? They didn't, but you know how wonderful God is? He still, even though he let them go, he set them aside, he still, through the nation Israel, wanted to reach the Gentiles.
Amen.
And Israel thought they were all that, right? But they never, they will in the future. Anyway, so when you're in time past, you're going to see the laws in effect, because what made the difference of the nation Israel and the Gentiles? First, circumcision, right? And then what came later that made it even deeper division, Gentile and Jew? The law. Right. So when you're in time past, what Paul's talking about, the law's in effect, and circumcision in effect. Let me ask you something. In the Old Testament, is there a difference of Jew and Gentile?
Sure.
Is the law being taught?
Sure.
What about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I come to fulfill it. He's teaching under law, and he said, I'm not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Is there a difference between the circumcision? Yes.
Yes,
it is. So we're not in, but now, the dispensation of grace yet under Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. How about early Acts? Are they still, is God still making a difference of the nation Israel? Yeah. He says what Peter said all the way up to Acts 3. If they'll repent, right? That God would the time of refreshing would come. And who's he preaching to?
Jews.
There was probably a few proselytes there. Jews. There's a difference between Jew and Gentile. And all the way up till Acts, I don't know if it's 21, James was bragging about, I believe it was the Pharisees, how zealous they are at keeping the law. He didn't know the law was nailed to the cross. It's not till Paul tells us.
That's right. Amen.
See, it was nailed to the cross,
right?
But God didn't reveal it was until Paul.
Okay.
But now, now, he says in verse 13, but now, see, the age of grace we live in, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So now what? Gentiles who didn't have God, who had no hope, today through the blood of Christ, you come. You don't come to Israel. You come to the cross.
Yes.
For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What was that middle wall of partition? Circumcision and the law.
Circumcision.
There is, today, it doesn't matter, God says, circumcised or uncircumcised, only a new creation. And the only thing that Paul tells us that counts with God is faith expressing or working through love. Remember that when we're dealing with people about right division and that would disagree with us. Then you have in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So you have, when you're studying your Bible, look and see, am I in time past when I'm reading? So in time past, God is giving instructions to somebody else.
Yes.
Now, can we learn some principles? Sure. Paul says all scriptures God breathed or inspired, and what useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped. It's for our comfort. So we study all the Word, but don't try and claim promises in time past or in ages to come, because after the rapture, I'm going to close up, after the rapture, it's not the age of grace anymore. Now, imagine somebody, because they don't really divide the Word, says, you could take the mark of the beast, because we're under grace. And you're justified by grace through faith, not by works. See, that would be wrong then. And it's wrong to bring in, from Hebrews all the way to Revelation, they're going to need some doctrine to go through the tribulation period. There's her doctrine. We can learn some things. You learn a lot of things, you know. James says, where do wars come from? It's in your flesh. We can learn about that. But what about where he says, faith without works is dead? And Paul says that if it's works, it's not grace. If it's grace, it's not. Well, how do you reconcile that? And people try and do, you know, mix the two? No. It's written to two separate groups of people. The body of Christ will be gone, and in ages to come, they got their instructions. I'm just going to give you a couple more illustrations. Under law, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it, right?
Amen.
What did the so-called Lord's Prayer, That is a prayer for Israel.
Right.
Thy kingdom come.
Yeah. Right.
The body of Christ is waiting.
Right.
We're coming.
Right.
We're going. Right. But
right.
in that, that's prayed every week in a lot of churches. What's it say? If you don't forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father won't forgive you, right? That's Christ teaching on the law. Law said what? God said, if you do these things, I'll bless you. If you don't, I'll curse you. Paul tells us up. What? If you forgive others, you'll have redemption and forgiveness. He said you have redemption and forgiveness. And if you don't rightly divide the word, you're going to take something here, try and mix it here and here, and you're going to have this confusion. No wonder, shame on the body of the church of today, mixing everything together, and no wonder people don't know what to believe. Study to show thyself approved.
Right.
A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. And here's the last thing I'm going to say. Why do we do it? Because God said, right? What's the purpose of it? So we can get to our instructions, so we can apply our instructions. Don't just get to the details. Get to learn what Paul says to us about us and how to walk in the Spirit today. Don't just stop here with the doctrine head. Let it get into our attitudes. God wants to produce agape, His love out of us. And it's speaking the truth in love. And if it ain't the truth, if you're mixing that, it ain't love. But you can speak the truth and you ain't doing it in love, and that ain't right either. So let's speak the truth in love. And I hope this has been beneficial. There was so much more I wanted to do, but that's the way it goes. Praise God. So we'll close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for giving us instructions how to study your word. Thank you for your son raising up a new apostle and giving him that secret that was hidden in other ages, but now we can read about in his epistles. Thank you for giving us an identity that we find that Paul tells us in the body of Christ as members and as your children today, that we're holy, without blemish, perfect in your sight, totally justified, hid in Christ, complete in Christ. We don't have to chase after this and that, new, all the doctrines and things that blow through the church. We're complete. And all we got to do is open up your word and find out who you've made us. And we just, I pray, Father, if there's one maybe that don't understand any of this because they're not saved, they've never trusted in Christ. Maybe they've committed themselves to you, God, to be good and to live this Christian life, but they've never trusted in Christ. May they learn to rightly divide how to be saved, that it's by grace through faith. If they'll just trust that Christ died for them in their place as them, and that he rose from the dead, that he was buried, but he's not there anymore. And we know that you were satisfied with his death because you rose him from the dead. I pray they'll trust today, God. They don't have to walk an aisle, raise a hand. Just trust that Jesus died for their sins and be eternally saved. And for the rest of us, Lord, I pray that give us a hunger to study, to take that time. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit's willing. Help us by an act of our will to choose to get into your word. You're not going to magically put it in our hands. And then teach us to rightly divide it so we can rightly apply it, God. So we can rightly live it out through Christ in us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.